Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winter culture.
Hi guys, welcome to A New Winter, Cults and Culture. And today I'm going to be talking about Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's the third in the trilogy of Tomb Raiders. There was Tomb Raider, there's Rise of the Tomb Raider, and now there's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's published by Square Enix and Eidos Montreal, and it was released in September 2018. So it's over a year old, and I apologise for that. Some of you guys who are playing Google Stadia, this is one of their most recent ones on it, so well done. That's, you know, you've got something out of that at least. And so you might just be playing this right now for yourself, or maybe you're playing it over Christmas if you got it as a Christmas present. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit and tell you what I thought, because it was something that I was looking forward to playing. And did I enjoy it? Yeah, I enjoyed it. Did I think it was amazing? No. But, you know, I'll kind of get into that. So it's actually the 12th main title for the entire series, which, when you think about it, is pretty insane. And this time it's a bit different. So she travels basically through the jungles of the Americas to take on Trinity, who are the big bad corporation. But by doing so, she accidentally unleashes the apocalypse. So, yeah, swings and roundabouts. So gameplay-wise, it's the same as the previous two installments. It's very Uncharted, which it never seems to really want to shake that off. You mainly grapple, you solve tomb puzzles, you jump around a lot. There's a stealthy action element to it. There's lots of like cool action sequences, but I really felt like these were very minimal compared to the previous two, especially in the second act. I really felt like there wasn't really that much taking out enemies. It was very puzzle heavy, which I think they vocally expressed that they wanted to do, and that's fine and that's good. I did get a bit sick of it after a while, but fine. There's only so much I can climb and swing and look at things and whatever and throw rope around or whatever. But yeah, from the actual, if you're kind of looking for the more stealthy taking out guards and all this stuff, there's not so much of that, and I quite enjoy that a lot more than the puzzles, I think. And I think it had, in the last one, it had more of a balance between the two. This one, not so much. But, you know, see what you think. So, yeah, overall, it felt a little bit stale gameplay-wise, I'm going to be honest. I don't feel like it added anything new that I was aware of. And there was a couple of bits, like you can, like in The Predator, where he's standing there like cold, like having this like, you know, shirt off thing with the Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's like there and he's like covered in mud. He's like, I hope you can't see me. You can do that now. So you can be like that because you're basically invisible when you wear mud. What we didn't know is that Trinity actually have this infrared vision stuff, heat seeking vision. I joke about it, but they actually do. They have thermal goggles, so it does kind of work. But yeah, it's still the fact that you're able to like put this mud on and it acts like a, like almost like you're invisible. It was quite funny, but you know, fine. So That's new. Another cool thing they added was that you're allowed to tailor your own difficulty settings in terms of the combat and the puzzles, etc. So you can have super hard combat and really easy puzzles. Other way around, you can have a nice mixture. You can do it how you want to do it. And I think you can do that on the fly as well. So if you find that you're finding it too difficult generally, then you can kind of switch it up as you're playing, which is good. And I thought that was a pretty cool idea. But at the same time, there's that part of me that's like, just give me what you think the experience should be. I've come here so that you can do all that hard work and thinking, and I don't have to. But I understand that people like to be very specific and personalize things to the nth degree. So maybe that's a big plus in your book. It does that. But yeah, I don't know how much more gung-ho you're going to be honest, because as I said, there weren't really that many sequences that had you taking out guards. Maybe they would have put more in had I upped it. I'm not sure, but I don't think it was a frequency. I just think it was a difficulty, but whatever. So the graphics, I have to say, and the main thing, they really pop here. I played it on an Xbox One X, and it was probably the best looking game I've played on it, maybe. It's definitely up there, at least. And so is the sound and the voice acting. I thought all that was great. I have to say, I thought it was a great experience for all the senses, a real treat. The story was all right as well. It's a lot darker here, and rightly so, but I really felt like the actual plot was quite thin, to be honest. And the characters were interesting enough, but completely underused. It was weird. It was like they kind of threw everything on the wall and then didn't really know what to do with it all. They just kind of like scraped bits off and went, I don't know, this is a plot, right? So it takes place after Rise of the Tomb Raider, where her and her mate Jonah, this big guy, are trying to stop Trinity. So they track down a Trinity member called Pedro, and it seems like they're looking for something in a nearby tomb. So you venture inside and you see this dagger, basically, which apparently has this power to have an eternal eclipse and end the world, basically. So to stop Trinity getting it, Lara, as you do, takes it herself. And quite hesitantly, but she still does it. So she then gets caught by Pedro, and he takes the dagger. And this is, happens throughout the whole thing. She keeps getting caught by the same guys, and they just take everything. They take it off her. So she's doing all the hard work, literally, here. So, yes, Pedro's a bad guy. He says he's going to reunite it with this silver box thing, whatever, in order to stop this cataclysmic cleansing, and instead use the power for himself, right? Whatever, fine. So as this is all happening, this big tsunami comes in and it destroys the town that they're in, and Lara and Jonah escape. And as they try to catch up to Trinity, their plane is taken down in a big storm, and they end up in, I want to say, Paititi, which is, I'm going to just call it the hidden city. It's a hidden city. So, and I always think about stuff like that, and they do it on Uncharted as well, these hidden cities. And it's like, haven't they got, isn't every single square foot of the globe been tracked by now? Like, how can it be hidden? It's out in the open as well. It's not like there's anything covering it, and it's not like Wakanda or anything like that. You know, well, there's no technology going on here. How come it's remained hidden? Anyway, so they try and track down Trinity, and Lara starts seeing these like orc-like creatures taking out the henchmen that are roaming about. And these orc things are pretty cool, actually. To me, they were the most exciting thing about it. I thought they were, and I like the way Uncharted does this as well, which is like the supernatural kind of side of it, but based in some weird reality, if that makes sense. It's so unreal, but then it pulls it back ever so slightly, so it comes right back into the realm of the real again, and that's kind of what it's doing here, what it does do. But yeah, at that moment in time, you're just seeing these like weird, like orc-like creatures running about. Pretty cool. So Lara then saves this random kid who's just wandering around, whose mum is some rebel leader called, I think it's Unulatu. And excuse me again if I got that wrong. I've written it down, but I can't remember how to pronounce it. So the cult that Unulatu is rebelling against is led by Pedro, the bad guy. And I think he's called a different name here, but I'm going to keep calling him Pedro because I quite like the idea that the main bad guy is called Pedro. So they seemingly worship this godlike creature, basically, that this dagger and box are supposed to summon. Apparently, Trinity took him when he was young, this Pedro guy, right? And his whole life's purpose has been to unleash this power, That's always been told to do. So Lara goes in search for the box, this silver box. And she, when she finds it, she actually finds it missing. It's not there. So they try and get it back from Trinity, whom they think have nicked it, right? And Unuratu is captured. So we then find out that these orcs are actually humans whose purpose is to protect the box. So, So Lara then sees Pedro and Unuratu talking. And he says that, this Trinity guy actually got the box. So he found it and he hid it during the Spanish conquest of the Americas. And it was ages ago. And, how are we going to find it kind of thing? So that's where it's been. So Lara breaks Unuratu out. There's this cool sequence where they're basically sacrificing people on, I go to say this tower, I don't mean the tower, but this like a pyramid-esque looking thing. And it reminded me of Apocalypto, if you guys have seen that Mel Gibson movie, which is pretty cool. That scene anyway, the whole film was like, eh, but still. So basically they find out that this power that Trinity seek won't stop the end of the world unless this god that they worship dies, right? Don't ask. I don't know. This is what they've come up with. So Unuratu is shot and she dies. So her son is now being left to take her place. As Lara and Jonah move on to the next clue, Trinity attack and they're separated. Then there's this cool bit where she's told Jonah is dead, right? So Lara goes on this rampage, killing everyone without hesitation, and then find Jonah is actually alive. Oh, they're only kidding. Great. And I've just literally gone on this rampage and killed everyone. This bit was quite cool. I really enjoyed this bit because it felt like she was having basically a bit of a breakdown. I don't really know what led up to it apart from the fact that Jonah went missing, or maybe she just had enough. So this is the shadow, right? This is the shadow of the Tomb Raider. She's becoming darker. Like, she's realizing that things are like getting fucked up and all this stuff. So as she's having this bit of the breakdown, I should mention that throughout the game, she's kind of having these flashbacks, and they're actually like levels, interactive levels, literally stuff that you can play when you're her as a child, basically. So she's kind of reminiscing about her family and her dad and all this, and her mum as well, obviously. And though I'm not sure what direct influence we're supposed to take from this, it's interesting. I don't know if it's that she feels guilty, that she wants to live up to the Croft name, maybe. Maybe it's something else. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys know. So basically they figure out where the box is actually hidden and they go get it. Pedro comes and takes the box from her again, yawn, because they've taken Jonah again. Great. So same whole thing. She gets it and it gets taken off her. We find Pedro actually ordered the death of her father to prevent him revealing the hidden city to the world. So now it's personal. Now it's this thing, she's got to avenge her father. So there's a bit of back and forth about using the power for good. And Pedro is like, it won't help the world, actually only help the hidden city. So whatever. And now we're like, oh, right. Okay. We thought it was going to help the world. He's not, it's only going to help this one particular part of the world, which is where he's from. Anyway, an earthquake happens and they're able to escape again. Great timing. So they head back to the hidden city and they see that a volcano is about to erupt, and so they decide they're going to stop this whole ritual from happening, right? So she gets the orcs on her side to help with this queen orc who looks fucking cool, by the way. And they all try and get through the volcanic stuff happening around them. And this is quite a cool little action sequence. You're jumping from things collapsing everywhere and all this. So she gets to Pedro, who's doing the ritual, and she manages to stop him. And he's the final boss, basically, in this point. And the power is transferred to her. Now, I think we're then supposed to wonder if she's trying to resurrect her parents here, because it's kind of like this bit with her parents, or does she go back in time or something? I'm not sure. So she's then, either way, she's getting tempted by this power, right? But she says a final goodbye to her family. It's a very touching moment, to essentially her youth, really. Like, that's it now. This is her becoming a woman and essentially forgetting her, putting away her childish things, as it were. And she's basically stabbed as this godlike being. So she's actually become a god, really, if you want to cut to the crux of it. And everyone lives happily ever after, right? So it seemed that Lara is now not going on about solving and uncovering mysteries, but she's now trying to keep them hidden. So she's learnt something, hasn't she? She's learnt it. So there's an element of the white saviour here, but ultimately she's actually partly the bad guy. She becomes aware that she keeps going in and messing about with the artifacts of all these ancient cultures, and who knows, maybe it's a metaphor for the West constantly invading, the East and the cultures there and, you know, making things worse. Maybe, or maybe not. So yeah, by doing this anyway, she's basically kind of, she almost set about the end of the world, but she became a god and it was okay, whatever. So it's not that she saved the day, it's more that she put right what she did wrong, let's say. So maybe there's a lot of symbolism here that I didn't get. There's these jaguars keep turning up. She has these personal one-on-one fights with jaguars as if she's now become an animal, if she's one with nature. I don't really get it, but okay. Apparently a lot of research went into the Mayan and Incan cultures so that it was as accurate as possible. And you can kind of see that. And, you know, overall, the game got a positive response. It sold over 4 million copies. And the Xbox version on Metacritic got an 82 and generally did very well. I did enjoy it. I did get a little bit bored of it by the end. The boss sequence was a little tough, but it was just the right amount of tough. And I actually I saved basically all my ammo. So I just went out, balls out basically, and, you know, just shot everyone I could. And I remember from the previous two games, I was really reliant on the bow and arrow and I liked that stealth element to it. And it just felt like there wasn't that much of that. It was much more puzzles. There was a fair bit of story, but I don't think the story was that particularly great. And there was just a lot of climbing and the climbing stuff is not my favorite stuff. I don't mind it when it's showing off a vista or you're trying to work out how to get from A to B and all this, but you know, when after a while, like it just gets to a point where sometimes you walk in, there's a temple and you can see all the, you know, ropes or things that you have to do that you're about to do and where you're about to go. And you're just like, can I be bothered? And the answer is usually no. But, you know, any kind of side tombs, I think I probably did about 3 or 4 side tombs. I just couldn't be asked for the life of me. But if you like that and that was more your thing, then go for it. The whole DLC is more hidden tombs, I believe. You get this, you know, you can download extra outfits, whatever, and all this stuff. They give you special things, fine, but most of it's puzzle teams. And again, stuff with the outfits, it's pretty cool that you can get like the old school Lara Croft look and all this. And if you hunt animals, you trade stuff, you craft stuff, and you can like upgrade stuff that you can do. I touched upon that a little bit, but again, I felt like it felt more of an afterthought. And I just remember from the previous games just having more stake in the game with that stuff. I wanted to go out like, you know, Far Cry style. I wanted to go out and craft stuff and get better. And, you know, the experience points, again, you kind of, it's all like interlinked and you use your skill points to do whatever. And I remember in the previous two games, I had got everything basically. This time around, I didn't get everything. I didn't really want everything. And that's mainly because most of it was to do with, you know, well, it wasn't most of it to do with fighting, but a lot of it was. And there just wasn't that many fights. And also it's like crafting special sauces or whatever, drinks and potions they use that give you certain abilities. I never used one. I didn't use one throughout the whole thing. And I didn't craft one either. But I was maxed out on materials and I was like, I don't really know what I'm getting. And there are a lot of little secrets and a lot of things I kind of picked up. And I did kind of venture out to do little side quests and stuff like that. But I just wasn't that bothered. And I was playing it going, I really would have liked them to have mixed up a little bit. So I'm interested in where Tomb Raider goes on next. But I have to say, I doubt it's going to be anything mind-blowing. I think, you know, I think maybe take a step back from it or look at what, you know, gameplay does next that you could do. I don't like looking at Jedi Fallen Order and stuff like that. And obviously I'm a big, it's not obvious, but to people who don't know, I'm a big Dark Souls fan. Maybe take a step in that direction. And I know every game does it and they've done it like 100 times, but I think that Uncharted gameplay style was great for that time. And bear in mind, we've had 4 Uncharteds now. And even the 4th one, I was like, we don't really need it, do we? And if this had come out when like Uncharted 2 or 3 had come out, I'd be like, this is great. This is kind of what everyone's playing. This is what's popular right now and it works. But I feel like we're kind of done with that and it's kind of evolved a little bit. And it was still, graphics were good. It was still enjoyable to a degree, but I have to say it wasn't amazing. If I had to give it an out of 10 rating, I would say a solid 7. And I don't really give ratings, do I? But I think it's a 7. It's nice. And yeah, I would say graphically, it's an 8 or a 9. And so if that's your thing, then great. For me, overall, 7. So yeah. So that's it. So please go to patreon.com/anewwinter, A-N-E-W-W-I-N-T-E-R, and sign up there. There's an exclusive podcast there. For you guys that don't know, I've just guested on a podcast called Japan on Film, whereby we talked about Ring and the 1999 version and the 2002 version. And we had a chat about how that compares. It's about 2 hours long. We really went into it. And, you know, maybe I'll be doing something to do with that later on as well. But have a listen to that, and I hope you enjoy it. Twitter at anewwinter, Instagram anewwinter. We're also now on Twitch at anewwinter. And I'm actually streaming this live now so people can watch it as I'm doing it, which is, you know, good for you. And you can email us at anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. And thank you. Goodbye.
You winter culture.